Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Well, good morning. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I wasn't going to share that, but then Daniel said, hey, you want to have lunch afterwards? I said, I have plans. It's my birthday, so so good to be here with all of you. It's a special day. It's a special day to preach God. I always count it a privilege to preach the Word of God, and I know He has a special word for you. I love your pastor. He is a good guy. You know, we've known each other now for just about 30 years. That's a long time. You're old. But I think that probably says something whenever you see somebody that comes to a church of an old friend, because it demonstrates the integrity that Daniel has. And Teresa, appreciate your pastors so much. Love them. They are good pastors. You have to have a good pastor. And you know what? God must love you because He says that He gives us pastors as a gift to the congregation. So, you know, I loved looking at my congregation whenever I pastored away on back and see the bride of Christ. What you guys look like right now. You're beautiful. And there's the tailor. He's the one getting you guys ready to be received to Christ. And so beautiful there. You know, I had plans to preach a sermon, and I'm still going to preach kind of that sermon. But then last night, I came to it. I came to my notes, and I started looking at it. And there was if my sermon was a bucket of water, there was a hole in that bucket. Because I came to it, and different preachers are different ways, but I have to have, like, some sense of, like, anointing, you know, and it just was dead. I started thinking, who wrote this? You know, and after years, you know, God has His own rhythms with you, Daniel, I know, but for me, that doesn't bother me anymore, because it's part of the rhythms of God. And I just realized, okay, He has something else. I'm not going to freak out about it. And I just sat down. I think that He had kind of a blend of a few things. So I really messed up all the people in the back. We do have the scriptures for you, but it's not necessarily what is on your handout there. Yes, that's right. So yes, we are in this place. It's already been referred to many times about the fear that is consuming us right now and the challenges, and like you said, probably some people at home watching. And that thought of the fears that are there, and I think it's just a wonderful presentation of the scripture that challenged that to say, no, we serve really a really big God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this morning I looked up and I saw the clouds and is breaking through. And I said, that's God's handiwork.
Yeah.
God is a mighty God. He is not taken off by any of these things at all. I think it's almost a little bit humorous whenever you think about the name of this virus, the coronavirus. I'm not a big Spanish guy, but doesn't that mean crown?
Yes. Yeah.
If you know, if anybody's the worst, or not the worst, but tries to pose himself as the biggest terrorist in the world, it's the evil one.
Yes.
Satan is all about terror.
Yes.
He's all about bark,
yeah,
and not bite.
Yeah.
And he wants to create terror. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but he wants to scare the people of God. And so I just think, like, coronavirus, is that all you got? this body, yeah, certainly there will be people that die from this, but you know, isn't it amazing? Your body is created in such a way that if you get this, that it's created to overcome and then be immune to it. That's the handiwork of God. God is so much bigger than that. And I just wanted to encourage you in those words. And then as I was worshiping here today, my mind went back to about a year ago. I was in a hospital. And I didn't know what was going on with me. And they found that I had a viral meningitis. And so I had a different type of virus. It wasn't the coronavirus. It was a different type of virus. And it had gotten into my eye and into my spine. And they were kind of freaked out. Everybody started doing what I'm sure a lot of people are now with the masks in the room. My family wasn't allowed to see me. My wife was there, but she had a mask. They were really concerned about what it was. They didn't know what virus it was. And then it got into the eye, and it created glaucoma. And I couldn't see really out of that eye. And the doctor, ophthalmologist that came through happened to, he gave me like the card, okay, what do you see here? And I closed the eye, and I said, E? You know, the only letter, the big one, E? And I won't say what he said, because it wouldn't be appropriate in church. He was mocking me. And I said, no, really, that's all I see. And suddenly took me down to the emergency room, did a bunch of tests, got me back upstairs into my room and laid me out on the bed and had like four attendees hold me down. They put a thing in my eye, and then he took a needle and poked my eyeball. Now some of you, I know who's like me, because you kind of, ooh, you squirm a little bit. I can't even put contacts in my eyes because I get too freaked out by it. So, but they did that to relieve the pressure. Afterwards, months afterwards, going into the doctor, they said, you have no idea. You can see. Like most people going through that extreme of glaucoma just will not be able to see after that. And so all that to say, you know, God is able to heal. Amen. You know, he's a great God. Awesome God. So, walking into the grocery store, looking at all the shelves, empty, not all of them, all the things you don't need are full. Walking into the restaurant the other night with my wife. Empty. Stadiums are empty. A lot of churches are empty. I'm so glad you didn't close up. Didn't Daniel make a great choice there? Here's the thing. This is probably the biggest point. There's a few points in the sermon, but here's the main thing. When our problems get higher than our hope, it's time to look for higher ground. If you don't get anything else, I want you to think about that one more time. When your problems get higher than your hope, it's time to look for higher ground. Because your hope is built on something that's substandard. And actually, I'm really grateful that God allows these things to happen from time to time, because whenever the troubles surround us and we feel like we are swimming and our heads underwater, it causes us to say, oh God, where are you? And we have to find a bigger God than what we believed in before. And you know what? If you're searching for a bigger God than what you had last week, praise God, because it's the same God. You just had an underestimation of this God. So the scripture that I want to just bring out to us is out of Psalm 61, where he says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call I'm going to read a different version. I brought the wrong Bible with me. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Yeah. Don't you just love that? Lead me to a rock, the rock that is higher than I. For you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me abide in your tent forever. Find refuge underneath the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. People are running away out of fear. They're running from that surge. If you think of that storm surge of the ocean, where if there's a hurricane, the surge comes through. And they are looking at the problems and challenges and trying to ameliorate the things that are going wrong inside of their lives. They're trying to fix what's wrong. And sometimes we're sitting here in the same way, where we're trying to fix the things that are causing fear. How can I protect myself? And I'm not saying go love on each other with big sloppy kisses that they did in the New Testament, cheek to cheek. But that may be stupid. But when your focus is on just pushing back the surge, you've missed what God's wanting to do. God's wanting us to be able to grasp that there's a much greater element for us to not focus on the surge, but rather on the ground that we're standing. Lord, put me on a higher plane. Put me on a higher ground that is away from that surge. And I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, like Daniel said, I work in at a university, or Assemblies of God Pentecostal University up in Costa Mesa. And I see all the things going on. We had to close our doors for a couple weeks. My wife's out. They closed her school for a month. I get it. But this church thing that we've been going through has been changing through the years. During the first century, whenever the church was growing and developing, you know, they realized they were going to lose their lives pretty quickly. They're going to be thrown to the lions. Every one of the disciples died a martyr's death. They just understood that life was not good, but their God was great. Their hope, where they were standing, the rock that they were standing on, was much greater than any of the problems and even the certainties of the impending death that they would experience was so much greater. And we look at where we are today, how fixated we are with the physical stuff. I've been around church now for a long time. I grew up in the church. And today there's a mixture of two types of church overall. There is the modern church, and then there's the postmodern church. We don't have many postmodern people here today. I'm going to pick on both of us. The modern church wants to build buildings. And the modern church wants to build stages. The postmodern church wants to get rid of the buildings. And they want to go out to the beach and have an authentic relationship with other people. But what I would say is that the church needs to get back to its real roots. That's not to say the buildings are bad, certainly not stages. Daniel will say, well, you don't get to preach up there anymore. You get to preach from the ground. But sometimes, you know, I think that we create buildings with spires in the sky and for people to look at, or stages to lift up people so people look at the performers, or for the postmodern church, for them to go just leave the gathering together of the assembly and be with one another for real and authentic relationship. And the lacking is that we're supposed to be looking at God, yes, instead of spires, those on stage, or even those across the bonfire at the beach. We need to be looking towards God. Yes. And God is hungry for that. Yes. Which really gets to the point of what I wanted to preach about today, and that is that God wants you. You are his bride. He wants you to be hungry for him. I mean, really hungry for him. He wants you to desire closeness and not be okay with just mediocrity in relationship. He wants you to be near and dear to his heart. He wants to be glorified because that's God. The King of Kings wants to be glorified. And so if it takes problems for us to be moving towards his presence, to make us hungry for him, make us needy of him, then he's okay for that. He wants that to happen. He wants us to know him in a way that the Old Testament uses the word yada. Anytime that it's talking about knowing someone, it's yada. It's in a relational knowledge. It's not a head knowledge. He says, I know you. He's saying, I know you like in an intimate way. I know you like a husband knows his wife. I want to know the essence of what makes you tick. I want to know your heart. I want to know how you move, what motivates you, what fears you have, what joys you have. And in the same way, he wants us to have that same knowledge of him. And that's not something you're going to get just by happening to go to church once a week. That comes from a daily walking with him, talking with him, saying, I want to know you better. It takes going through stuff. So the people you know best, you've gone through stuff with them. The ones you're closest with, you've gone arm in arm through the challenges. You've cried tears. You've laughed together. You've worked together. You've cut yourselves. And inside of this journeying together, you know one another. That's what God wants with you. He's not satisfied with the surface relationship anymore. And he would want to tell you this really clearly. I want to know you. I want intimacy with you. So there was a guy named Moses who was in that same line. Moses was a great guy. Moses was a man who was raised as a prince, did some stupid things, ran away. God called him to go lead the people of Israel. And so as he went back, he was obedient to God, led the people of Israel out of the nation of Egypt. And as he was leading them out, going through the Red Sea, all of a sudden he realized, okay, this is all great. I've got all these people. People have put me up on this pedestal. God has given me like direction. Moses would go out and he would pitch his tent on the outside of camp. Now, I would kind of like this gig. He would go pitch his tent on the outside of camp. Everybody else, the cloud of God's presence would come and hover over the tent whenever he was in it. And God would speak to him face to face. Now that's the type of relationship, right? That's it. He's the man. I would love that. Joshua actually was his servant. He would stay outside of the tent. And as Moses was speaking with God, I'm sure Joshua is putting his ear up to the tent. I want to hear this. I have this door between me. I want to hear this. As a matter of fact, whenever Moses left, Joshua did not leave the tent. Because he said, this is holy ground. Even when the cloud's gone, I'm staying next to this tent. Here's the thing. And Moses had this great relationship with God, and God called him up to the mountain, and Moses was standing up there with him, and they were talking as friends talk. And Moses said, don't go anywhere without me. And don't send me any place without going with me. Because I don't want to take these people. He said, I am clueless to lead these people without you. And this reciprocal relationship was strong, but then here's where I want to take you to, is that Moses was not even satisfied with that. But Moses wanted intimacy with that same God too. not just instruction, not just direction. He wanted to be close to that God. And in the scripture that is out of Exodus chapter 33, Moses said, after this conversation, he said, "Now show me your glory." It's like, it's not enough to come talk to you face to face. I do that. We have that. And it's kind of like this craziness that human beings are wired with, where it's just not enough. It's never enough. And Moses, it was not enough with God. He said, "That's fine, the whole cloud thing, and you speaking to me face to face. I want something more than that, God. I want to see your face. Show me your glory." He said, "Now show me yourself. Let us have this intimacy where I know who you are. I know what you're all about, and we can be close with each other." And Yahweh said back to him, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'm going to have mercy on who I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on who I have compassion. But Moses, you can't see my face and live." This is a great story. Go back and read the entire chapter. So here the audacious Moses is wanting to have this intimacy with God. And God says, "Okay, I'll give you as much as you can take, buddy. I honor your passion for me, Moses." He said, "But you can't see my face. You're going to die." So he takes him up. And just a little bit later, he takes him up to a place on the mountain the next morning, a little bit higher. It makes me think of that scripture. "Lead me to a rock that is higher than I." He's not happy with what he has. "I want more of you, God. I want more of you. Take me to that place where I can see you." And God says, "I know a place. I'm going to take you to this rock that is higher. And there's this rock that has this crevice, and it's a cleft in the rock. And I will put you inside of that cleft, and I will cover you with my hand, and I will have all my goodness pass by as I proclaim my name. And then you'll see my backside." And here's the great thing about it. I didn't realize this until this a couple weeks ago. The glory, the weight of God. So glory means weight. It's a heaviness. So the glory of God. Moses is asking God to see his glory. God doesn't say no, but he says two things are going to happen. So we have a picture here of what the glory of God is. It is one, first of all, the name. The name of God when it's spoken. And as a matter of fact, they give us play-by-play here. In Exodus 34, the next chapter, in verse 5 through 7, they show the picture of what happened. And it says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh." It's not pronounceable inside of the Hebrew, but God was speaking his name, his very essence. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. So what we see here is that God's proclaiming his name and his goodness. You want intimacy with God? You're going to have to come to terms with those two things. His name. Now, I love that Christ came. He creates an opportunity that Moses didn't have for us. We have access into the throne of God. We can love on God like Moses could not. But that didn't change, does not change who God is. He is awesome. when God has relationship with us, it's not like he just walks in the room and he just winks at us and all the sin is not taken into consideration. Rather, there is a heavy price to be paid for that. As a matter of fact, at the very end of what he was saying, in that very last part, it says, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their parents for the third and fourth generations. That's because that's Old Testament. And in the New Testament, even that is actually forgiven, but it's not just a gimme. We have an awesome, powerful, holy God that we need to be able to come into face-to-face with and say, I don't deserve to be here, but I am so amazed at the power of my God, and I'm not going to take it lightly. My God is just. There will never be one unjust thing that remains unsettled whenever all is said and done. God is perfect. He is holy. None of that changed. Whenever Jesus came on the scene, all that is still operative, but we have provision for it. So there's this like holiness of that relationship, but then at the same time, there's the goodness of God. How does that work? How can he be both? Well, that's the mystery of it. Another place, another psalm says, one thing has God spoken, two things have I heard, that God is just and that God is merciful. It's like this dual nature of who he is, but it's his goodness, that he is compassionate. So you'll never know God fully until you know him as the compassionate one, the one that is faithful in loving you, the one that never quits on you, the one that never leaves you, the one that never forsakes you. This is that love, compassion, the goodness of God that Moses was experiencing. Whenever Moses says, I want to see your glory, God says, okay, I'm going to say my name and I'm going to have my goodness pass in front of you. And then we are going to be able to have more intimacy with one another. When we are wrestling with the fears that come from coronavirus, or when we are wrestling with our spouse leaving us, or our kids walking away from God, whether our job's going to be there, or we could go through the whole list of things, and I know there's so many here that it's the common human condition, loneliness and sorrow and pain and grief and things like that. When all that is happening and the surge of the storm begins to encroach upon yourself and you feel the water climbing up over your head, that's where you need to be able to step up and say, God, take me to that higher place so I can know you. I want to see you. I want to be intimate with you. I want you to show me your awesome power. And I want to see and taste of the honey of your compassion and your goodness and your gentleness. Moses came down with 10 commandments on tablets. His face was radiant. Thank you, God. What that says is, You can't be intimate with God without something changing inside of you. When you're intimate with God, when you fully encounter his awesomeness and you fully encounter his great compassion, it changes you, transforms you. And they covered up his face. He would talk and they cover up his face because it scared everybody. Oh, to be a church that scared people. To be scary people out there. And I love that in 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to read it, but in 2 Corinthians, whenever Paul's trying to talk about this glory of God, He says, Moses, whenever Moses came on the mountain, he was veiled. His face was veiled for an ever diminishing glory. But our faces, seeing Jesus Christ, are unveiled so that the world will always see an ever increasing glory that comes from experiencing God. Is that your narrative? An ever increasing intimacy with God? I'm sorry, I get excited. That is powerful. If we could get a hold of that, it puts all the coronavirus stuff in its place. It's a reality. Our feet may get wet, but I'm higher than the virus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That goes on and says that my feet are on the solid rock. That's where I stand. Would you all stand up with me? Father, I just thank you for this morning, what you've, the opportunity that you've given us to look at ourselves once again, to see that there's things that scare us. We get worried about the surge. We get worried about the problems of this life. But Lord, you don't want us to stay in that space. You want to give us greater hope. And you want to take us by the hand as the water is coming over our eyeballs. And you want to say, come on up here. There's a higher place. There's a cleft in the rock. There's a place I want you to stand. There's a place I want you to be intimate with me. I want you to know me. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know you more. Show us your glory. Show us your glory, God. If you need to go to that place, that higher rock, or if you need a touch from God, a healing touch from him, or an answer to a deep need that is weighing you down, we're going to open up the altars. There's going to be people that are willing to pray with you, or maybe you just find a place and just pray by yourself. It's not going to take a lot to convince God to be intimate with you. He's really wanting that. I invite you to come. And if you need to, you're dismissed. You can go on your way. Thank you for being here today. But let's just wait upon God right now.
just sense just like, I've just seen a picture how beautiful it is when the butterfly comes out after the whole transformation, and it just spreads its wings and has to just let them dry and just catch something. I just sense that some of you, just God's doing something where he's just brought a real beautiful transformation, and that even the word that he put inside of you, there's a wooing of God to him, and a sense that I just sense you're going to soar, you're going to fly. And I just want to just make that declaration over you that God, you're that breath, you're the very breath on our wings that lets us go to the next level, lets us go to the heights. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And I just thank you for your grace, even as your word has gone out and your word we hide in our hearts. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry as you just breathe on their wings, as you just breathe the very breath of God. And there's something about it that I know there was a story of how some people wanted so bad that they cut open the chrysalis, I think it's called, before the butterfly was ready to bust out. But it took the pressure of the trial to fully develop and to bring the blood into the wings or something in the development. And if you cut it open without the pressure, that the butterfly can't fly. But some of the pressure that we go through is necessary to give us the wings to get to the next level. So I just speak on that, that there's no guilt, no shame. If you've carried shame, you've carried guilt, if you've carried anxiety, if you've carried fear, no shame. Sometimes the very thing that we press through is the very thing that gives us the strength to go to the next level. But I just bless it. And I just see this beautiful, I just pray, God, that you just take us where you want to go. This is the training ground so we can go outside these walls and to reach our world. This platform is used as that training point to take us out into the mission field. So release us, God. And I just pray for that breath of God on your wings. I pray for that spirit strength in your life. I pray for that Holy Ghost boldness, like Acts 4 says that they had the experience in 2, but in 4, they moved in boldness and said, Father, they could give us boldness to boldly proclaim your words. And I just pray for that Holy Ghost boldness to go and to soar, even to enter into new heights that you didn't dare go before, even to speak things in public. Maybe you didn't feel strong in that before, but I just sense God's going to just take you to new levels. And I just thank you for what that looks like in every area, in every sphere that we interact with the world around us. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your presence. And thank you as you go with us. And as your presence is not only here, but your presence is in here. It's around us and in us. And we just walk in it. And we'll take it to a dry and a thirsty people all around us. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. We love you. Love you so much. Be blessed. Have an awesome week. Today we ask that people would, there's a 24-hour fast that we're just doing with a bunch of different churches, 24-hour prayer chain. So if you could pick a time to pray, it just came quick that they asked us, but I just ask you to just pick a time and pray, and we're just going to fill different slots as a body and just pray. Do what God tells you. You guys hear God. We've trained you to hear. So listen to God. Take a slot, whether it's a half an hour, an hour, or some point in time, and just pray and intercede over these next 24 hours for our community. Like we said, for not today, Satan, here in our lives, in our community, in our city, in our county, in our region, and pray outward in circles like that. If you would do that for me and just pray and use the Psalms, use Psalms 90, use Isaiah 60. Go in there and use those to make declarations and pray. Okay? Love you so much. Be blessed. Have a super week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.